This is Doug Miller. Are you ready for Zechariah's seventh vision? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best. And he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller, and the program is Dialogue, and we are privileged to be back one more time with this Word in hand. And we are in the book of Zechariah. We will begin with chapter 4, verse 1 today. I think you will find it very profitable, as the Lord's Word is always profitable. So bring your Bibles. Come along. Open up to Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1, and call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far out as we can get it to as many as we can get it out to. And as you've heard me say many times on here, to this end, we require the support and assistance of the people of God. I don't care who you are or what you are or what you think of yourself or what you think your calling is. If you are saved, you have gifts and privileges and an access to the throne that we here need and covet. And we need your prayers. Please write Dialogue down on your prayer list and pray for Dialogue. If you are not saved, you need to get saved. Don't worry about Dialogue. Think about your own immortal soul and where you plan to spend eternity. Now, we would always, as I say on here many times, love to hear from you. Our mailing address is Dialogue, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. If you wish to email, our email address, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. That's Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. We have a web page. That's Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. And no strings attached to any of this stuff. You just pull it down and enjoy. If you wish to call and talk to me, the phone number is area code 405-535-9089. That's 405-535-9089. And you will get a recording, you leave a message, and I will get back with you. All right, here we go into chapter 4 and into the seventh vision of Zechariah. Now, just by way of review, just so you can keep up, and, you know, for those of you who may be tuning in for the first time, we have been looking over Zechariah's first six visions. Now, these are indeed visions. Jeremiah is not asleep and dreaming. He saw these things. He makes it clear that he saw these things. And let me just go over the first six visions for you. Vision 1, the riders under the myrtle trees. Vision 2, the four horns. Vision 3, the four smiths or carpenters. Vision 4, the man with the measuring line. Vision 5, Joshua and Satan. And then Vision 6, and we ended it last time at this one, the branch and the stone with seven eyes in it. Now, beginning with chapter 4, we are going to get a seventh vision. And this vision has really dual meanings. The primary meaning is the nation of Israel, recovered and restored. Now, let me tell you something about Israel, other than the fact that I love them. And if people say, well, you're pro-Israel. Yeah, I hope so. Always have been, plan to stay that way. But because I am pro-Israel, I can tell the truth about Israel. And I don't have to tell the truth about Israel because their own scriptures tell the truth about Israel. Israel was marked out by God for salvation as a people, for national people. There is only one nation on this earth that are the Lord's people nationally and on this earth, and that is the nation of Israel. If you think that, you know, that the Lord has other nations out here that are particularly blessed, I think you are mistaken. What the Lord is doing now, he is saving in this dispensation individuals. But very early on, way back, many years before the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, out from idolatry, to come out to Canaan. And he said, I will make of thee a great nation and a great people, and in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. He narrowed the vision down from there. He said, the Lord said to Abraham, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Not Ishmael, did you get that? But Isaac. He narrowed it down further. He made it very clear that it was not through Isaac's son Esau, none of the Edomites, none of the Ishmaelites, but through Jacob. And he narrowed it down further. Jacob had 12 sons, and of those 12 sons, the Lord picked out and chose a tribe. And that tribe is the tribe of Judah, from which we get the name Jew. And it is through the tribe of Judah that Messiah came. And you know, God brought Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage, sent them out, took them through the wilderness, purged and cleansed, renewed, and brought them into Canaan and into the land, and gave them this land flowing with milk and honey. Some of you are probably saying, hey, we know all of this. Why are you telling us all of this? Because you need to hear it. We need to think about these things again and again. What happened when God brought them into the land? He gave them instructions. He said, I'm going to tell you what I want you to do. This is interesting because there's so many people out there who say, look, if God wants me to do something, just let him tell me what he wants me to do, and I'll do it. Really? Well, what he is asking you to do right now is to repent and to believe the gospel message, and that his son Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again because of your sins and mine. And it is by believing the gospel that we are saved. If you're saying, well, I don't believe that, fine. Then you won't do what God told you to do, and that makes you just about like Israel, doesn't it? Now, Israel had a law given. If you're a Gentile, believe me when I tell you that you are not under the law. God didn't give the law to the Gentile nations, but he did give it to Israel. And it put them under Peter in the 15th chapter of Acts says, a yoke that neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. Now, did Israel ever keep the law? They never did. They got into the land, and they turned to idolatry, and it was an idolatry, basically, from which they never really came back. The 10 northern tribes were carried away by the Assyrians. The 2 southern tribes were carried away by the Babylonians. A remnant, a mere remnant, came back from the Babylonian captivity, and it didn't take them very long before they had rejected and crucified the Lord Jesus Christ and were scattered to the ends of the earth. But the story is not yet told. And we get the story and the picture here in the 4th chapter of Zechariah, and we get another picture. We are, as in many of the things Zechariah says here, we are looking at the restoration and the return from Babylon way back there in about 500 B.C., and we are looking forward to another restoration of Israel, one that hasn't come yet, but that will come. And in a typical sense, we are looking at the church as it exists today in this dispensation of grace. Now, with that lengthy introduction, let's look at some of Zechariah chapter 4. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep. Now, once again, what's that tell you? It tells me that the man was not sleeping. He had been sleeping. The Lord waked him up so that he could see this. Now, believe me, I don't believe that the Lord is showing visions to anyone nowadays. And if you have people out there who are seeing things like this, they probably need some psychiatric help. Yet, Zechariah did see these things. And he saw them because the Jews require a sign. And a sign appeals to sight. And praise the Lord that Zechariah was available and open to receive this vision, and we have it here. He was wakened out of sleep, and in verse 2, and he said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl and the other up on the left side thereof. Now let's just stop it right there and talk about this. The vision that Zechariah saw here is the menorah. The menorah is a universal symbol of Israel. Now there are other symbols of Israel, you know, the fig tree and the vine. And yet, it seems as it's come down to us today that the menorah is the most prominent sign. Other than the Star of David, of course, is another one. But if you go to Israel today, you will see the menorah all over the place. The menorah is that candle, that lampstand that was placed in the tabernacle in the wilderness and later in the temple in Jerusalem. Remember what it was. It was of solid gold. And it was a beaten piece of work. It had one central branch that ran up the middle. And on either side of that central branch, six branches coming out. At the top of all of these branches, there was an almond blossom and a cup. And this cup... the work was hollow. It was hollow inside so that oil could be fed into the middle branch, and the oil would then feed out of the middle branch into the other branches. And it was the job of the priest, the high priest, to keep that lamp trimmed and burning always. It was the only source of light in the outer part of the tabernacle. And, of course, once you got into the Holy of Holies behind the veil, the Shekinah glory was the light. There was no light needed back there because the Lord lighted it. Now, you might say, well, what's all of this mean? Well, let's just look at it. In the first place, there were seven lamps. The one center lamp and six lamps, other three on each side. Notice that the numbers 3 plus 3 are first off. They total up to 6. It is 2 times 3. 2 is the number of testimony or witness, and 6 is the number of man. If you don't believe it, there are many symbols in the Bible. In places in which the number 6 signifies man. But I'll just give you a couple of them. The man was created on the 6th day, wasn't he? If you look at, for example, the stone water pots in the 2nd chapter of John, what do you have in this? The Lord said, fill them up with water. Now draw it out and take it to the governor of the feast. And what you have here is a picture of water, in this case representing the Holy Spirit, turned into wine. And here we have a picture of man filled up with the Holy Spirit by means of the Word and having this turned into wine in him. And it is a beautiful picture of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ our Lord. But we, and just think on it, meditate on that. The number six can have a very bad connotation when it is man in the wrong way. For example, 666, the number of Antichrist. You have the number of man and the number of deity. And what do you have in this number? You have a man making himself out to be God. And it is no wonder that it is Antichrist's number. It is an evil thing. But now back to this six-branch candelabra, the six branches. What we have are these branches in union with the central branch, but standing on one base. The primary symbol is that of the nation of Israel. Now you'll notice in Zechariah's vision here, there is a bowl at the top. The bowl at the top was not a part of the lampstand as it existed in the tabernacle in the wilderness. This seems to be something new that is added, and it is up at the top, and apparently that bowl at the top was filled up with oil, and it fed the lower branches. Now, what do we have here? We have, once again, a picture of Israel filled with the Holy Spirit. There is no clearer and more obvious and consistent symbol of the Holy Spirit in the Bible than that of beaten olive oil, this beautiful golden oil. And what do we have here? The lamp burning brightly. What is a lamp? It is a picture of testimony. Israel was to be a testimony throughout the whole world of the salvation and grace and love and mercy of the one true God. Israel is these are the people that were called out of darkness into light. It is to Israel that the oracles of God were committed. Through them, the Word of God came. This Word that we are looking at today, you open it up anywhere you want to, and you will find Israel written all over it and the Jews written all over it. Jesus told the Samaritan woman at the well, salvation is of the Jews. And of course, all of the prophets and the apostles were Jews. And, of course, when Messiah came, he came as a Jew. Now, when you look at Israel and what has become of Israel, you're looking at a sad thing, but you are not looking at the finished product. God warned Israel over and over again to repent, to repent, to repent. They wouldn't do it. They kept worshiping Baal. They rejected Yahweh Elohim. They absolutely would not follow the commandments that he gave them. And where did they wind up? Well, in this case, in Babylon. God brings them back. And what we are looking at, this remnant that came back, in Zechariah's vision is God's provision to strengthen and encourage and revive, as it were, Israel, brought back to the land. What were they doing back in the land? Well, among other things, they were trying to rebuild the wall and the temple, and the testimony would flow out of Israel again. But now we are looking also in this vision forward, a long way forward, into the millennial reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, and those of you who are unsaved, I want you to listen to me. And if any of you are Jews out there, you listen to me. Israel is going to see glory the like of which they have never seen before. And all of you out there, if you happen to be one of these people, you hate Jews and you hate Israel, get used to it. Israel is not going to be destroyed. Israel is going to be blessed. And in the millennial reign of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is coming surely and certainly when he sits on the throne of his father David and rules with a rod of iron from Mount Zion, this word is going to flow out of Jerusalem. And in the vision of Zechariah and the words of Zechariah, all the nations will flow unto it. They will go up to Jerusalem. In Zechariah's words later on, men out of every nation will take hold of one who is a Jew and say, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Now, this is what's coming. And here we have this picture of this beautiful lampstand. It shone briefly back there. The vision got put out. The lamps got put out. It is in darkness now. Israel, those who are back in the land, are basically back in unbelief. And yet, that's not the end of the story. They will look on him whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him. And that's what Zechariah says, too. We'll see it later. Israel is coming back. And when they come back, they will cry, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." But now, wait a minute. There's more to this vision than that. There is also two olive trees. Now, we won't have time to develop this fully today, but Lord willing, we'll take it up next time. The two olive trees are two witnesses, and one stands on the right side of the bowl and the other on the left side. And I answered in verse 4 and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, "What are these, my Lord?" Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, "Knowest thou not what these be?" And I said, "No, my Lord." Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." Now, one of these trees here represents Zerubbabel, and the other one represents Joshua the high priest. These were men who were alive during the life of Zechariah, and they represent here, one represents the government, that's Zerubbabel, the head of the government of Israel, and the other represents the faith of Israel. He is the high priest. He is the one that stands before God on behalf of Israel. Now, once again, we won't have time to fully develop this business of the witnesses today. But let me just point out, as I've already said, the number two is the number of witness or testimony. When the Lord Jesus sent out his disciples to proclaim the kingdom's gospel to the nation of Israel in his day, he sent them out two by two. When the first missionaries went out of Antioch to the Gentile world, there were two of them that are particularly named, Paul and Barnabas. And, of course, this number two proliferates as a testimony, as a symbol of witness or testimony throughout the Bible. Okay, for example, if you wanted to accuse someone and charge them with breaking the law under the Mosaic law, it took two witnesses at a minimum. One person could not come forward alone and charge someone with anything. It took two. And here we have these two men standing here. Now, all of you out there who know anything about the Bible also know, and it probably leaped far ahead and are saying, "Well, what about the two witnesses in Revelation?" Ah, good for you. Delighted and glad that you picked up on that. The two witnesses in Revelation. God will always have a testimony, and he will always have someone in this world to speak for him. Well, that's all we'll have time for now. This is Doug Miller. This is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.